Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
As you get ready to expand your knowledge this offseason, make sure to save the date for USA Football's 2020 National Conference taking place February 21st through the 23rd in Louisville, Kentucky. This is more than just a clinic. It's your chance to hone your ability to teach proven and effective techniques while connecting with coaches across the country. Most coaches are satisfied if their regional clinic delivers just one or two nuggets of information. National Conference delivers a one-of-a-kind, high school-focused, live field experience that will give you an abundance of drills and techniques to improve your team's performance. Coaches can deep dive into both X's and O's and technique at classroom and chalk talk sessions. Finally, USA Football delivers top keynote speakers year after year. Here's a few of the keynotes from previous years: Mike Tomlin, John Gruden, PJ Fleck, and Jeremy Pruitt. As an added bonus this year, paying attendees can get access to the advanced tackling system and contact system for blocking and defeating blocks following the event, and have a chance to earn the new advanced contact certification. If you're ready to get to work on next season, don't miss out on USA Football's National Conference. Learn more at nationalconference.usafootball.com/podcast. Enter the code PODCAST179 to save at registration. Speaking of National Conference, on today's podcast, we feature parts of keynotes from USA Football's National Conference over the past few years. Our first segment comes from Trent Dilfer, who played 14 seasons in the NFL. He's best known as a starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens during the Super Bowl winning season in 2000 and his time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dilfer was named the head football coach at Lipscomb Academy in Nashville, Tennessee in 2018. In this segment, he talks about the concept of coach says and how players are impacted more by their coaches than any other influence in their life.
Power, burden, opportunity, I don't care what you call it. But the words you say and how you treat your kids is going to paint a vision for what they are. It's going to determine their self-speak. Billy Graham's one of the greatest humans that's ever been on this planet. And he's famous for saying this: the two most powerful words in our culture today are coach says. Meaning, whatever coach says trumps all the other inputs in his life. Now let's dig into that for a second, because I have three kids. And I've been told, well, no, it's the media. It's parents, it's social media. It's teachers. Not according to one of the wisest men ever. And my perspective, I've seen the landscape, I would agree with him. That what coach says means has way more weight than what Sally Jane or Johnny White Sox says. And I know it means more than what parents say, because I've lived it. And I get, child shows up in the passenger seat, how was it, sweetie? Well, coach said this, and that's their perspective. Coach says. Coach says has incredible power. I think it's because, and I know this was true with me, as players, as athletes, we're trying to be part of something bigger than ourselves. The world tells us it's about you, it's about you, it's about you. How do you look? What do you do? What do you achieve? But instinctively, we want to be part of something bigger. We want to be part of a tribe. Well, the coach determines your ranking in that tribe. The coach determines where you fit into that tribe. The coach determines where you feel comfortable in that tribe. Because the team, the tribe, can say, you're no good, you're this, you're that, you're lazy. And the coach will say, no, you're a grinder. You have great grit. We value you. You're part of this. And that trumps whatever the negative influencers are saying. Social media might say, you're a one-star, you're this, you're not that good, you're not pretty enough, you're not big enough. And coach can say, no, we need you so bad as the gunner. We need you so bad in the drills for practice. Your leadership brings value to this team. So coach says, those words that a coach has trumps all these other inputs that are coming in these young people's lives. And I hear this all the time when it comes to like positive coaching, positive teaching, where you lose discipline, you lose your edge, you lose your authority. I'd put that in a big bucket of lies too, because you know what you gain? You gain respect. You gain the ability to connect with a young person and shape the rest of their life. Because the majority of them are just going to be part of a tribe for a little while. But they're going to take those lessons they learned in that tribe, and it's going to determine how they parent. It's going to determine how they move forward in life. And if they become a lawyer or a CEO or work at Walgreens or whatever it is, it's going to determine how they interact with the people around them. It's going to determine how they handle adversity within their marriage. It's going to have a massive impact. Your words on that player is going to have a massive impact for the rest of their life. And then those people are going to become influencers, and they're going to take your words and how you taught them, and they're going to impact those people in their lives. And do you see how it builds on each other? Do you see why Billy Graham said the two most important words in America today are coach says? Because it builds and it grows. I came up with my own personal coaching philosophy, and I'm not a traditional coach. I speak at clinics and camps and conventions all over the country to people that have way more pelts on the wall than me when it comes to coaching. I have chosen not to do it because I feel like I can have more impact in the world I'm in now. But I too have come up with a coaching philosophy. I call it your awesome butt. You're awesome, ... but. When you start with affirmation as a coach, as an influencer, when the first thing out of your mouth is affirming what a young person has done, and sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's hard to find anything they've done that's good. But when you take the time to find it, their heart and their ears and their mind now opens up, which allows you the butt. Hey, Trent, your effort this week in practice was awesome. You brought it every day. But for some reason, we're not seeing it transfer over to the game. Hey, Trent, I love the fact that on that three-step drop, you were on balance, everything was good, you look perfect, but we got to do a better job not predetermining the coverage so you don't throw it to the other team and they run into the end zone. Hey, Johnny White Sox, I'm so proud of you, man. You get out there for pre-practice, you go through your functional movement, you're all locked in, you're doing everything we've asked you to do. But we got to get you to lower your hips a little bit in contact. We got to get you to finish. We got to work on that. I'll tell you what, they heard the second part a lot easier because you started with the first part.
John Gruden is currently the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. He first served as the Raiders head coach from 1998 to 2001 and rejoined the team in 2018, where he led the team to the franchise's first Super Bowl title. At the time, Gruden was the youngest head coach to win a Super Bowl. Gruden also served as an analyst for ESPN and Monday Night Football before he returned to coaching. In this segment, Coach Gruden talks about 10 thoughts for coaches and what he values the most.
But I want to just list real quickly 10 thoughts that I have. I've been meeting with coaches and players around the country, trying to motivate them and encourage them to keep doing what they're doing. Do you want to hear these 10 thoughts I want to share with you, everybody? All right. Number one. And if you could make a note and try to remind yourself of a couple of these, perhaps it can help you in your endeavors. You know, number one is, I notice in Tampa where I live, there's a lot of recruiting going on now in high school. There's high school coaches that are recruiting 7th and 8th and 9th grade kids. I'm not trying to police anything. You got to do what you got to do. But I want to challenge everybody in here today. Recruit your own high school. Yes? Go in those classrooms and get kids off their butt, get them out for football. Only you can do it. And you'd be shocked how many kids that I have touched personally and their families by just showing an interest in them, we got them out to play. Will you please promise that you'll try to get some kids at your own school to come out and play, even if you keep getting shut out? Do that. That's number one. Number two, the three buzzwords that I used with the players that play the game and the coaches that coach it, I try to put them up in my room so I look at them every day. The first word is effort. We can't demand supreme effort if we're not given effort ourselves, right? So I ask all of you, no matter what percentage it is, turn up your intensity, turn up your efforts just a little bit. Think about your individual determination, your effort. What more can I do to make a difference this year? The second word is be a better listener. Go to these clinics. We had one the other day, 3.5 hours. We talked about nothing but backside blocking. Be a better listener. Listen to your coaches. Find a new drill. Find a new technique. But continue to listen and make sure that your players get the message. The third word I want to emphasize is communication. I'm not talking about Snapchats and Twitter and emails either. I'm talking old-fashioned, face-to-face communication with your coaches, your players, your AD, your parents. I was a great communicator. Do you believe it? We were going to fake a punt one year against Seattle. I told the personal protector, look, if their three-man side is on the left, check silver. We're going to snap it to you. We're going to run over here for the first down. The three-man side is on the right. We're going to check gold. We're going to snap it to you. You're going to run to the right. Three-man side is to the left. What's the call? Three-man side is to the right. What's the call? We're playing Mike Holmgren. I can still see it. Personal protector says, check silver. Where are we going? Nobody could remember. We had to take a timeout. Gold was right. Left was silver. You got to communicate. What? You got to communicate. So at halftime, I called everybody up. I said, hey, look, silver gold check with me is there, man. We're going to run it again. Easy way to remember this. Silver has an L in it. That's why it's left. Gold is right because it doesn't have an L in it. Exactly right. We had some dumbass players in Tampa. I'm going to go quick because I don't want to waste time. Effort, listen, communicate. Three old-fashioned words that we have lost. We have lost a lot of places I've gone. Number four, I'd like you to look at your calendars as a coach. Get a calendar, a private coaching calendar. Take a look at it. Too many people that I meet are worried about the preseason. They're worried about the regular season. They're worried about the postseason. Not enough people are spending careful, calculated time on the offseason. That's when we won a lot of our games. We won a lot of our games in the offseason. Quarterback schools, conditioning programs, scheme evaluation and research. Ask yourselves, what can we do now in the offseason that's going to help us get ready for the preseason? Very important. Formulate a drill book. Every drill is based on two things. What does a player need to work on? What's going to happen the most on the practice field? How can we improve our practice plans? Think about it. Got to do it now. You guys having fun? A lot of people say I'm intense. I don't understand what the hell they're talking about. Number five, evaluate your staff. If you're a head coach, evaluate your staff. Some of you guys may not have a good staff. You might not have a big staff. Might not have anybody. Who do I have? Who can help me? Who can help me? What can they do? What do they offer? How can I utilize their strengths? Who can commit the time? It's hard, man. You got to evaluate your staff. You got to be honest with yourself. But your coaching staff is an extension of you. And that coaching staff is the most important group of people on campus as far as I'm concerned. So really do a great job now tightening up the staff, getting everybody on the same page, finding out who can do what, how much time they can commit themselves. Vital to any football team. Number six, this is big. Have a contingency plan for when things go wrong. Don't come unglued like I did when the referee throws a flag. Somebody's going to get hurt. What's the contingency plan? There's going to be a turnover. We're going to be behind. The weather's going to be bad. We're going to have a long road trip. Have a contingency plan. Know what to do when adversity happens before you get there. I remember 2008, we beat Kansas City in overtime. We were 8-3. True story. Owner of the team gave me a game ball after the game. John Gruden, winningest coach in Buck history. Give me some. Give me some on that. True story. Next week, we beat the Saints. We're 9-3. Beat them in a rainstorm in Tampa. Same owner. Another game ball. John Gruden, 100th career victory. Give me some. 4 weeks later, same owner fired me. Had to have a contingency plan. I want you to think about adversity. How are you going to handle it when it strikes? Write down 10 or 12 things you know it's going to happen so you know how to deal with it with some poise. Last few things. Number seven. I learned this from Al Davis in Oakland. Preparation and presentation go hand in hand. A lot of coaches can do the preparation. They can sit in there all night, come up with all the answers. But when they got to go out and present it to the players fall asleep. The presentation's terrible. They can't explain it. They can't teach it. They can prepare it, but they can't teach it. Some guys can stand up here and do a song and dance, but don't know what they're talking about because they didn't do the proper preparation. Are you with me? I ask you to think about your preparation. How intense is it? And then how do I deliver the message so our players can absorb it and believe in it and make your dreams dance? Al Davis taught me that. I remember Tom Landry, head coach of the Cowboys. Anybody heard of him? I went to a clinic. He was speaking. I have never seen a coach better at a clinic. And I've been to more clinics than any guy alive. Landry would draw the offense in red ink. Then he'd draw the defense in blue ink. Then he'd draw the blocking scheme and a route combination in black ink. So his presentation was color coordinated. It was awesome the way he presented his preparation. So when I got interviewed by Al Davis in 1998, I was going to blow Al away with that type of presentation. So Al Davis asked me, he said, what's your best third and goal play at the 9-yard line? I couldn't wait. I drew the formation in black. I drew the route in red, the defense in green. He says, Butch, what's wrong with the crayons? I said, I'm just trying to give you a color-coordinated presentation. He said, don't you know I'm colorblind? So just know who you're presenting to, all right? Last couple things. I'm trying to have a little fun and make some points at the same time. And I gave a speech playing Kansas City in Arrowhead Stadium. Tough place to play. They had had our number. I put a lot of thought into what I was going to say to these guys before a game. So I called the Raider players up and I said, hey, guys, just don't forget the four E's. The four E's. I've already talked about effort and execution. It's all about effort and execution today. And have some enthusiasm. Never let them know what the score is. So I talked about effort, execution, enthusiasm, and intensity. Be intense. The Grady Jackson, our nose tackle, he says, everybody knows enthusiasm doesn't start with an E. We have some dumbass players in Oakland, too, I tell you. That's why they need us. Last point I want to have today with you is I'm sincere and I challenge all of you, okay, to keep this fraternity strong, okay? You're going to hear a lot of different speeches from different people about different things, but it's up to you people to bond together and keep this coaching fraternity, this football coaching fraternity strong. Okay? We got to support one another. We got to help each other. If one guy makes a mistake, it affects all of you because people are out to get you. So we got to bond together. We got to help each other. We got to support each other because there is strength in numbers. All right? And believe me, I've been to a lot of clinics just like this around the country, and they know exactly what we're talking about. Three hands, three claps if you're with me. Give me something on that. Keep the fraternity strong. Keep promoting the game. Keep promoting the game. You know, if you're a young coach, first or second year coach, there's no way you have all the answers. There's no way. I thought I did, but I challenge you young coaches to find a veteran coach and seek knowledge, seek wisdom, learn the game. And if you're a veteran coach, open your arms to these young guys and teach them the game. But we got to keep this game strong, and it starts with the coaches that are here today. And the last thing I just want to say is this job is getting bigger and tougher every single day. And the game is suffering right now. I'm telling you, it's suffering. I don't like what I'm seeing in a lot of places I go. But if we can keep ourselves in a fighting mode in here and keep competing and keep having fun and keep recruiting players to play and spreading our knowledge and our enthusiasm, great things can happen. But we can fight together and we can have a lot of success together if you guys just stay with us. Thank you guys very much for having me.
Our last segment is another impactful one, and it comes from Mike Singletary. After playing college football for the Baylor Bears, Mike Singletary was drafted by the Chicago Bears in the second round of the 1981 NFL Draft and was known as the heart of the defense for the Chicago Bears Monsters of the Midway in the mid-80s. He was inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1998, the same year he coached Kirk Cousins in youth flag football. Singletary later pursued a career as a coach, first as a linebackers coach for the Baltimore Ravens, then as a linebackers coach for the San Francisco 49ers. In 2008, the 49ers promoted Singletary to the head coaching position. Recently, Singletary served as the head coach of the Memphis Express of the AAF. In this segment, Coach Singletary talks about how important it is for coaches to be invested not just in a player's game, but in their lives.
But the thing about Coach Brown that I noticed more so than anything else is how he cared about the kids there, how he cared about the community, how he made a difference in the community. There were kids that would come in and out of his office, and they had issues. And he knew every one of those kids. He knew the kids that didn't play football. It was important to him that he knew about the lives of the kids. And today, that's something that I'm not really sure that's happening. I'm not really sure that it's happening at the high school level. I'm not really sure that it's happening at the collegiate level. And I know it's not happening at the NFL level, where the coaches are really invested in the kids. And to me, some of the history that I've learned about the game, I remember somebody talking to me about Bear Bryant, and I love learning the history of great coaches. Bear Bryant was one of them, but the thing I heard about Bear Bryant was it was important to him. It was all about the kids. It was all about the kids. Whatever is best for the kids, that's the decision that we're going to make. Now, I don't think that's happening today. Now, that may even mean sending a kid home. That may even mean cutting a kid off the team. It may mean doing some really tough things. And in our society today, we are really changing. We are going in a different direction. You know, there was a time where the parents led. It was a time that the father was at home. When you look around, there's no father at home. In many cases, not even a mother at home. These kids are raising themselves. But you know what? I look at life like this. I really believe this. I look at a coach just like I look at God. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's not going to change. And as a coach, it does not mean that because times have changed, because the kids have changed. Maybe you figure out a different way of trying to communicate with them, but the values in which you teach the game should not change. Because if they do change, then you are hurting the kid. If you will not stand up and tell this kid what is right, if you will not stand up and what what you say and the rules that you have for the kid that's on the bench that does not play, that same rule has to be for the starting player. It has to be for the same for the star player. There should be no inconsistencies to me. One of the greatest things I know and remember about Coach Brown was he was a man that was consistent. And to me, the C in coach stands for consistency. I must be the same guy every day. That kid needs to know what to expect from me. I am not going to change. I am not going to change because you came from a broken home. I am not going to change because your dad is incarcerated. I am not going to change because all of your brothers are in jail. I am not going to change because your mom was on drugs. I'm not going to change. But what I am going to do, I'm going to reach as far as I can to get you. I'm going to find out all I can about you. I'm going to read books. I'm going to listen to tapes. I'm going to do everything. I am not going to change, but my approach may change. My approach may change. If you know that a kid is going through a really difficult time at home, maybe your approach changes. Maybe you don't come at him the same way. Maybe it changes. But the values in which we play this game, the right and the privilege that you have to play this game, it will not change. I will not damage the game of football. I will not lower the level of football because of some of the things that have happened in your life. I can't do that. Now, I got to come off. I got to take my hat off as a coach. I got to take my whistle off. And I got to go as far as I can go without changing to help that kid. That's the thing that I loved about Coach Brown. Coach Brown was tough every day. And when you saw Coach Brown, I don't care if you were drunk. Somehow you got sober. And when you walked on that campus, you were a leader. When you went to the classroom, you sat in the front row. When something happened in the school, the football players were the ones that stepped up and made it right. If you were at a party and there was drugs at that party, you left. If there was a fight and it involved a football player, you got him out. You had each other's back, and that's the thing that he taught us. That's the thing that he taught me. The thing that he taught every one of us. I want you to be the best in that classroom. You're just not going to compete on the field, but I want you to compete in that classroom just as hard as you compete in that classroom, because when football is over, you got to go out there and you got to compete in that world. And if I have not prepared you for the truth, those people will come up to you out there. They don't like you. They'll cheer for you, but they know that if the girl is there, chances are you're going to get her. They don't like that. Chances are if there's a break to be had, you're going to get it. They don't like that. And rightfully so. It's just nature. It's just life. But it is our job as coaches, especially at the high school level, for you to reach into that kid and pull it out of him. Those kids have no idea what they can do. They have no idea the power that they have. Many of the kids in our country today are being prostituted. They're just prostitutes. Because the coach is doing everything that he can just to keep him on the field. And that's wrong. I do not want you to play on this team if you cannot live the standard of this team. I am doing you a disservice if I let you play on this team and I know that you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing. I got to get you out of here. I got to wake you up. If you love the game, you will do what it takes to come back. But if I let you go and I act like I don't see it, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when that kid is arrested, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when that kid is strung out on drugs, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when that kid cannot find a job, it's on you. It's on you. The blood is on your hands.
Well, there you have it. Some examples of what you can expect from National Conference. We're really excited about this year's group. We have Herm Edwards from Arizona State, Rich Scangrillo from the Denver Broncos, John Benton from the San Francisco 49ers, and more coaches to be announced here shortly. Again, I highly encourage you to attend in Louisville, February 22nd through the 24th. Check out all we're doing on Twitter at FBDEVCoach and check out our systems for blocking and defeating blocks at footballdevelopment.com.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.